Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Genesis chapter 6. Are you all there? Okay, here we go. Verse 9. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among his people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Verse 11, the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people of the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all the people of the earth, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark. A what? An ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it, coated with pitch inside and out. This is how you were to build it. And he begins to give the instructions, the size, very detailed. I want you to go down to verse 22. Noah did everything just as God had commanded him. Now, Genesis chapter 7. The Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you seven pairs of every kind of clean animal. And he goes through the details of that. Go down to verse 16 of that same chapter. The animals going in were male and female. Imagine that. No argument there. Can you imagine if your cat wanted to transition? Does that sound insane? It's because it is. Oh, I leaked just a little bit. Let's go to Hebrews. That might happen during the course of this message. Then the Lord shut him in, as that final verse. The Lord had to shut the door. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, when he warned about things not yet seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world, became an heir of the righteous, that is in keeping with faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your principles of increase and for the blessing of heaven and how we're to live in it. For the example of Noah and for this powerful series from the first 11 chapters of Genesis. Move in power. May we never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me go on to say with heartfelt compassion and all jokes aside that if you know someone, including yourself, that's confused in that area, we have resources to help you. We are equipping ourselves to help a generation that's been lied to help a generation that's been deceived, to help a generation that is fatherless, motherless, and not led in the way of truth. There's going to come a mighty wave of those who are broken beyond all understanding, more broken than any other generation. They're coming. They're coming, and we are ready and readying ourselves to bring healing and the power of God to set them free and to see them take their place in society, bringing the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? We're doing a series, as I said, and the series is on the first 11 chapters of Genesis called Foundations for Life. Because if you don't have these foundations in your life, you'll be building on the sand. Jesus said, if you build on the sand, there's going to come a storm, your house is going to fall, and great will be the fall of it. So you want to build on the rock, the bedrock of God's word. And so as we've been moving along, it has been a series that's greatly impacted me. Last time I was preaching to you, we talked about that very famous passage of scripture in Genesis chapter 6, where the sons of God, which we defined as angels, saw the daughters of men, which are literally humans, women, and took them, Took is a Hebrew word for covenant. Took wives is the picture. And their offspring are not giants, although they could be giants as well. But their offspring was this heinous mixture of fallen angels and human beings. I referenced New Testament in an attempt to prove that to you. Jude verse 6, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for judgment on the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah, there's a tie into Sodom and Gomorrah with these angels. In other words, the cities around them is similar way, giving themselves over to sexual immorality. Jude ties in Genesis 6, sons of God. It can be interpreted other ways. I'm giving you the opinion of how I think it is. And when we get to heaven, we'll all know. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through 6, also talks about this perversion and how they're kept in a place, reserved in a place called hell, but it's the word hell is only used there. In that tense, it's the word Tartarus. It's a special place in hell. Everybody say it's a special place. That's a special place in hell. And so it's rather crazy. Can I just give you something that preaches cute, but I have no idea if it's true. Talking with a friend of mine, he said, yeah, well, that's intense. I'm like, yeah. He said, but what about Revelation 9? And that's something. I'm like, what about Revelation 9? He said, well, it seems that there's these angels that are kept in this special place under, you're paying attention now. I can see everybody's like leaning forward. Special place under the Euphrates. And Revelation 9 says the Euphrates will dry up, which is unthinkable, but guess what's happening? The Euphrates is drying up. And they're kept under the Euphrates. And Revelation 9 says that these angels are going to be released. And people say, some say that they're these angels, these fallen angels, kept in a place called Tartarus that's underneath the Euphrates. And when it dries up, these angels will be released. And what's further creepy is that those in that region, they say, are hearing ungodly sounds from underneath. Let's all have a praise break. Come on, just lift your hands to heaven. Hallelujah. Don't worry about all that. I said, don't worry about all that. I got more Christians worrying about when the Antichrist is going to be revealed. They've lost their joy, freaked out about when. Is it pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? When's it all going to happen? The Illuminati and just chill out. Just relax. Serve God. Love God. Be like Noah. All right, be like Noah. For as in the days of Noah, so it shall be the coming of the Son of Man. And the days of Noah is this barrier between the demonic realm and the human race is broken. And I do believe that's happening at some extent now, certainly. Human sexuality is distorted, and my goodness, haven't we have that? Signing your children, people signing their kids up for being. I can't even say it right now. Their focus was their own lust in Noah's day. It's the same as it is today. They worshiped heroes. They worshiped these men of renown, this offspring of humans and fallen angels. It seemed that they worshiped them. And that corruption of humanity precipitated the destruction of all mankind. That's why there's a flood. It's not just, you know, an unequally yoked situation, as some would teach you. I don't believe that. It is not good to be unequally yoked, and you should never marry an unbeliever, but that doesn't seem to be it's a little extreme that God would wipe out the earth because there's intermarriages, interfaith marriages. You know, there's this race of incredibly demonic, twisted, half-human, half-devils that start leading the nation. start leading the world, and God cleans the slate. Times in which Noah lived were dark times. They're dark times, but it's the backdrop through which God releases a vivid picture of what it is to be a man, a woman of faith. And it seems to be the backdrop that's being set for us even now by an Antichrist agenda. Now, Noah was a unique man. Noah was a unique man. Write in your notes now. A unique man he was. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. He was seen as a man of faith. A what? A man of faith. What made Noah a man of faith? What is it that made Noah a man of faith? I mean, it is truly amazing because he didn't have a church. He didn't have the Spirit. He didn't have the Word of God like we have it. God spoke to him. We'll talk to you about that here coming up. But he was a man of faith. What made Noah a man of faith? Four things I see that made Noah a man of faith, and you can take these and apply them to your life. The first thing is he had character. Imagine that. Verse 9 talks about him having character. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. In the Hebrew, there's 10 words here describing Noah. And it's interesting that he's the 10th generation from Adam, and he's described with 10 words that describe him. 10 Hebrew words. He was righteous. Say that. He was what? He was righteous. But that word right there, righteous, tzedek. I think we have that on the screen. You got that Hebrew? There it is. It's not just righteous, it's righteous continually, day after day, week after week, month after month. It's not a moment of righteousness, wow, that was righteous. No, it's a life of righteousness. It's a very different word. And so he was righteous, habitual righteousness. He wasn't only righteous, he was blameless. And it is a different word, and it has some different meanings. It means without defect. It's a word in the Hebrew that's also used for animals that would be brought for sacrifice, had to be blameless. It's above reproach. He never did anything wrong, is the picture. And nobody can say anything about him. He wasn't a hypocrite. He didn't say one thing and live another way. There's a Hebrew word there for that too. He walked with God. He did what? He walked with God. I'd like to have that on my gravestone. If we're all here when that happens, I'll go on for 120 years. Preaching, praying, prophesying. Amen. Anybody else going to just go for, I'm going to go in full strength. The Lord will be like, that's it. It's time for you to go. I'm not getting any sickness. I'm not getting infirmity. I'm not getting disease. I'll never get cancer. He said, well, what about me? I don't know. That's just where my faith's at. That's what I say it over and over and over. I've been around long enough to know that what's going to come out of my mouth, God will create. He creates the fruit of your lips, so I'm speaking life. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. You speak life. He walked with God. Are you walking with God? Walk with God. It's this picture. Well, it was said also of Enoch. I believe it's the great grandson of Enoch. Enoch had such close fellowship with God, as the Sunday school teacher said. Walking with the Lord, Enoch. The Lord says, you know, Enoch, you're closer to my house than yours. You should just come home with me. And then Enoch was no more. I like that. It means that God's not a spare tire. What do you mean, spare tire? It means you have a relationship with God, but you only really lean on him when you have a blowout. You're on the side of the highway. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. No, it's walking with God day in, day out, day in, day out, week in, week out, walking with God, talking with God, having communion and fellowship. So many people want to be used by God, but they're not willing to walk with him. You got to have character. Character is what you are, what you have in the dark, when no one will find out. The level of maturity that you have in God is what you do when nobody will find out. but of course the Lord sees. But Noah had character. What did he have? He had character. He was righteous. He was blameless. He walked with God. Not only that, the second part that made Noah a man of faith was that he heard God's word and obeyed. You see this in verse 22 and then in chapter 7 and verse 5. Noah did everything just as God had commanded. And then in Genesis 7, 5, Noah did all that the Lord commanded. That's the key for being a man of faith. Faith is confident assurance of what you cannot see. That's a definition of faith. Put it simply this way, faith is obeying, faith is action on God's word. Say that. Faith is action on God's word. So many times we have this flowery sort of ethereal, oh, faith. No, it's practical. It's a practical thing. Obey God's word. That's faith. We walk not by sight. We don't walk by our emotions. At least we're not supposed to. We don't walk by our senses, sight, feel, touch, taste. No, we walk by faith. We believe God's word. We see what it says. We obey it. We move forward. That's faith. If you want to be a man of faith, you got to hear God's word and obey. And that's what Noah did. A key to the Dr. Yonggi Cho's church growth, and now he's gone on to be with the Lord and pastored the church in South Korea onto another, well over 1 million people. He says it simply, I pray and I obey. Ask him how he built one of the largest churches in the world. I don't believe it's the largest now. I think in Nigeria, but the Nigerians would say the same thing, perhaps differently. I pray and I obey. Would you say that? I pray and I obey. You're going to be a man of faith. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to obey. You got to hear God's word. You got to obey. He knew God was holy and powerful. He knew what? He knew God was holy and powerful. Hebrews 11 and verse 7, and Noah being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for saving his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteous, which is according to faith. You know, godly fear is a great gift. He knew God was holy. Do you know God's holy? Somebody said, I believe in God. That's good. I'm glad you do. The book of James says that demons believe and tremble. Much of America says they would believe in God, but there's no trembling. Quote from Charles Spurgeon, faith that does not believe that God will punish sin will not believe that he will pardon it through the atoning blood of Jesus. Faith which accepts one word from God and not another is evidently not faith in God, but faith in our own taste. Listen, God's holy. We need to know that. He's totally other than. And the only way you can have communion with him is by having your sins forgiven, which we'll give an opportunity towards the end of the service here. Noah believed God. Don't be an unbeliever with regard to judgment. I was praying yesterday and reflecting on some of the lives in the course of the history of our being here in Alaska and then in other places as I was considering this text and praying. I've seen people blow their lives to pieces. And I've seen people come into the church and try to cause difficulty and problems. We've had people in the past come to try to hurt me. It's a bad idea. Not because of any incredible security systems we have, which we have, and not because I can handle myself and I can. No, way more than that. You mess with God's church, you're in trouble. I'll just tell you, he loves you, so he'll help you with judgment. Judgment isn't come from the anger. He just wants to kill you. You know, he wants you to repent. That's the purpose of judgment. And in the case of different ones that I reflected on, some of them don't exist anymore. In other words, they're dead. Are you saying that God killed him? I don't know. But there is a connection where you came to destroy what God was doing and now you are no longer existing. I can't help but tie the connection together. I don't know. The Lord knows. God's holy. This is not some little patty cake for Jesus we're playing here. We're preaching truth. We're releasing leaders. We're changing the world. It's not something that we just do. It's just this cute little thing. It's like playing bocce ball or something. You know, the other thing is that it doesn't happen in 2 months, although it can. I've seen the course of somebody try to undermine and try to hurt another man of God, a woman of God, a church, not just this church. I've got tons of stories. I study these things. I call them autopsies. I do autopsies of believers that destroyed their lives. And when I look, I just try to see if I can learn because I don't ever want to be in that category. I don't ever want, I'm not, in Jesus' name, I'm gonna finish my race. How many of you want to finish your race? I want to finish my race. So I'm like, okay, how does that happen? You go from, you know, changing the world to utter destruction. Let's make sure. Let's take some notes. You see it in word and then you see it in action. And so in the course of people not understanding that God is holy and that God is powerful and he is a God of justice, many times the play out of their disobedience takes 3 or 4 years. It's not usually a couple months. He gives mercy. So no one knew that God was holy, and he knew of God's promises, and he knew that God was holy and that he judged, that he's all-powerful. And even though he didn't understand, oh, I love this. Even though he didn't understand, he believed God and obeyed. Warned of things not yet seen. Noah, yes, Lord. There's rain. What's that? There'd been no rain. Build an ark, a boat, make a boat. Oh, no problem. What's that? He's the first boat builder. There's never been a boat before. He builds an ark. He didn't understand, but he obeyed. Animals are going to come. How's that going to happen? How's that going to happen? God, he didn't know that God put inside animals instinct and to move and to migrate. It was amazing. I love when the birds come back every winter. They see the cranes, the sandhill cranes. I'm like, yes, Jesus, you're amazing. Hope they're not carrying bird flu. Lord, thank you. They move. The Lord leads them. It's kind of amazing. I'm a beekeeper. Bees are amazing. I was sitting there looking at my bees, drinking a cup of coffee late afternoon yesterday. And I'm watching them do a bee dance. Do you know what that is? A bee dance is what a worker bee does to give indications to the other bees where the food is. If I could just say it that way. Pollen is a protein. Nectar is a carbohydrate. Lots of pollen right now. Just coming in droves. And you can see them, they do this little bee dance thing. That's amazing. You know who made that? The Lord. So even though Noah didn't understand, yeah, angel, the animals are gonna come, he's like, what? And how many of you know they did? They say there's some new discovery about the ark. I don't know if you've seen that, but he was a man of faith, things not yet seen. He did not understand, but he still obeyed. He persevered. He did what? He persevered. We know a little bit about that. We know a little bit about persevering. I was sharing Christ with someone at the gym, and might be here. They asked me, oh, what church do you go to? And it's before he understood that I was the pastor. I said, I go to that one that's on the hill. Oh, that one they've been building for 10 years. I said, 7.5. Seven years, 6 months, 2 weeks, and 3 days. Amen. We understand how long it took. Yeah, perseverance. He had to persevere. 120 years it took him to build. 120. He didn't let the lack of support hinder him. He wasn't supported by anybody. Now, I don't know. You might turn my mic down a little bit just in case I get a little ornery right now. God spoke to you to, I told you to turn it down. God spoke to you to do something, then do it. If God gave you a word, obey. He said, well, nobody's supporting me. Grow a spine. All of you that need a spine, just lift your hands. I do. I need a greater backbone. We all need greater backbone. You need grit. Father, help. Noah had God, his wife. Listen, when he started, his sons weren't born. Okay? Can you imagine the mockery he just had to go through some stuff. Lack of support didn't stop him. Oh, nobody's supporting me. I'm grateful for support. Thank God for unity. Thank God for support. Thank God for prayer covering. Thank God for all of those things. But there are moments in life where there's no one there. There's Gethsemane moments where you ask your prayer team, can you tarry with me for 1 hour? And they all fall asleep and there you are. That's the Garden of Gethsemane. There are Gethsemane moments, which means oil press. And Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, your will be done. There are moments where you have to contend, you have to fight. The preachers and pastors of a bygone generation called it the dark night of the soul. Can you imagine how many Noah had? Half human, half demons running around, cavorting everywhere. Defilement everywhere. He didn't quit. Persevered. He persevered. Didn't let the lack of support stop him. He didn't let the length of time stop him. You know, some of our extensions we planted and they've taken a long time to take root and really produce fruit. I think about Molokai. I'm going there shortly in a few weeks to celebrate their 40th anniversary. I pastored there years ago. It was the first work that I pastored for Dr. Morocco in King's Cathedral and Chapels. We went there in 2001, was there for a year and a half, and we cut some new teeth there. I learned how to pray, experienced prejudice. I was the only white person in our church. The church wasn't prejudiced, it was the community. Didn't like what they called the Haoles, or Haoles. Some, not all of them. It's called the friendly aisle. Wasn't friendly. Just saying, wasn't. And it's taken a long time for that work in Molokai to begin to produce the kind of fruit that they have now. Pastor Robert was there when I got there, and he eventually took over and planted three more churches. He's a great man of God and his lovely wife. And it takes time. Sometimes it takes a while. We're a microwave generation. We're like, where's the fruit? Just keep plowing. Just keep believing. If you have a word from God, it'll prove true. And he didn't let the length of time stop. He was a witness. Everybody say he was a witness. We're talking about Noah being a man of faith. Why are we talking about Noah being a man of faith? Because God wants you, God wants me, God wants us to be a people of faith, to be a people of character, a people that know God's word, a people that know that he's holy, a people that pray and obey, a people that won't quit, and even though you're not supported by maybe you're even your family. I've known people who come out of real religious backgrounds, Catholicism and even Christian cults, and they come out and they come into the church, they come here and they get gloriously saved, and their family's like, you're no longer having fellowship with us. We've seen that. That's persecution. Consider it not strange, said James. You face all kind of fiery trials. It was a witness in the midst of a crooked generation. I mean, crooked and dark like we can't even imagine, although we might be moving in that direction. We clearly are moving in that direction. There's a time when if you're going to live for the Lord, you got to live for the Lord with all your heart. And you got to live for the Lord with all your heart. And please listen to what I'm about to tell you. Not everybody's going to like you. This is not a popularity contest. It's not how many likers you...
The Lord likes you. Better, he loves you. He doesn't just like you. You know, so many people are leading their lives based on how many likers or how many subscribers or how much money. You can split hell wide open with gazillions in the bank. It's not a popularity contest. You're going to have people that don't like you. Rejection has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with who lives on the inside of you and who you're living for. And if you live for God in this hour and this day, you're going to have people that don't like you. Welcome to Christianity. I mean, this first world difficulties. Oh, they don't like me because I'm a Christian. Oh, come on. They're not trying to burn you at the stake yet. Come on. I've shared the story many times before, but going through difficulty called Dr. Morocco. I mean, it's 16 years ago. Called Dr. Morocco. I said, Pastor, it's really hard here. I moved from Hawaii to Alaska. You couldn't get me to move back unless, of course, the Lord spoke to me. But I'm on a lifetime assignment, so we're confident that's not happening. Amen. Here to do something for the Lord. And so, you know, here we are, and we had some difficulties, and it was very difficult in every way. And I call him, and I said, I'm going through this time, Pastor. He says, okay, Pastor Dan, well, what's going on? And I tell him, he says, all right, well, I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he said, what do you mean you don't know what you're going to do? He says, wait, Pastor Daniel, is anybody trying to burn you at the stake? I'm like, what? No? Okay, all right. Have you resisted yet to the point of shedding blood? I'm like, I'm pretty sure I haven't. Okay, you're going to be all right. You know, go get the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Go get it. Everybody should buy the Fox's Book of Martyrs. And when you're going through a hard time, just crack that thing open and read a few chapters, and you'll put it down and be like, look what the Lord has done, yes. Come on, I don't have any problems. Seriously. Not real ones. You're going to heaven. The main problem has been resolved. You're on your way. Lightness and dark don't mix. So, you know, you're going to go through things, but you got to be a witness. Everybody say, be a witness. 1 Peter 4, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. Do what? Arm. That's a military word. Arm yourself with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Listen to this, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. For we've spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, pay close attention, verse 4. They think it's strange that you don't run with them into the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who's ready to judge the living and the dead. People aren't going to like the fact that you're not going to sign up and agree with all the trans. I can't agree with the transgender agenda, which the end game is transhumanism. They're trying to play God and live forever. The transhumanism is that you then live forever. That literally you'd upload your mind files into some AI world and be able to replicate you in a robot form. And so that literally you would live forever. And then people trying to go into, you know, freeze tubes or whatever. Say, are you serious right now? Wake up. Wake up! It's the end game of the Antichrist, the unholy Trinity. Satan, the Father, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. All right, what's God saying to us? Well, he's speaking to us as a church. Three times the term ark is used in the Old Testament. Here in the story of Noah making an ark. The second time is the story of Moses, where Moses is put in an ark and brought to safety. And the third time is the Ark of the Covenant. We said, what does that have to do? What does that have to do with us? The church is an ark. Come on, say that with me. The church is the ark. A gathering of God's people, a place of refuge. When we gather here, like this morning, you receive the word of God, you receive fellowship, you receive encouragement, you receive strength by the Spirit so that you can be rescued even from a crooked and a depraved generation. Building relationships, growing in God. Somebody said, is the Lord going to ever flood the earth again? No. No, he's not. He's promised that he won't do that. He's going to set it on fire. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Woo! God has a strategy for us as the ark of God. The ark is a picture of the church. We're calling people in. We did it this morning, led powerfully by Pastor Karen. Bring in souls. Give us souls. It's the ark of safety and protection and blessing, the blessing of God. There's coming. There's coming a fire. There's coming a flood. There's coming a tremendous, tremendous pains upon the earth. He said, well, we're going to get raptured out of here. I hope so. I don't really know. I'm not going to fix my gaze on the rapture. I'm fixing my gaze on him and going to reach the lost. Come on, I'm going to do everything I can as a man of God. My wife is a woman of God. We're going to do everything we can to bring in people into the ark because it's dark out there and there's freedom and power here. Come on, Jesus is on the throne. He's defeated hell, death, and the grave. Come on, give a shout to God. Come on, come on. He's given us a strategy. He gave Noah a strategy. He's given us a strategy. That strategy changes. He makes adjustments as we move along. Very simply put, our strategy is have these celebrations, these services that we have. We'll have another one at 11 o'clock. We have another one at 6. We have a service on Wednesday. Will you add more services? Undoubtedly. When? As soon as the Lord tells us to. We added a Slavic service at 2 o'clock at our old building. Why would you do that? Because there's 12,000 Slavics in the valley. Slavic people, 12,000. If we were to be extremely generous, we would say that 5,000 go to other churches. So what is happening? I'm not very good at math, but the rest of them. Where? 7,000 people, thank you. Where are they? Where are they going to go? Please listen to the logic I have. Somebody said, you built way too big. You know, you're nearsighted. 100,000 people. We didn't build a sanctuary that holds 5,000. Maybe if we blew it, Lord forgive us. 100,000 people, amen. 100,000 people in the valley. How many of those go to church? Forget the church part because the devil goes to church. How many people are saved? Just look at your neighbor right now. Look at your neighbor right now. If you see red eyes looking back at you, will you just wave your hand wildly? We will come and help you or assist you in how to set them free. Amen. 100,000 people, let's say conservatively, I mean, how many people go to church? I've done this before, but I'm trying to open your eyes to the reality that there's destruction on the earth. God has given the church, I don't mean just us, I mean the body of Christ, to reach the lost. That is the purpose, reaching the lost, equipping the saints for the work of ministry again and again and again and again. We will plant thousands of churches from this place all over the world. Why? Because the hour is short and the devil is mad and God is on the throne and he's called us to do it. So we have these services that change lives. 100,000 people, I mean, let's say, I mean, I've done it before, but there's 10,000 people. I'm just telling you, there's no people in all of the churches, there's not 10,000 people that go to church. in the valley. From Talkeetna to Chugach. 10,000 people go to church. He said, yes, there is. Okay, great. I'll just double it just for fun. 20,000. Oh, let's go triple it. 30,000 people go to church. What's the math on that? Thank you, Pastor Karen. 70,000 people that don't know the Lord, potentially. Where are they all going to go? We need a whole lot more churches that preach and teach the Word of God. We will have 10%. Listen to me. We will have 10% here. Why? Because God spoke to me. We're going to have 10%. There'll be 10,000 people here. So, you can't build a church like it. Yeah, they said we couldn't build this. Well, here we are. It's not about us. It's about Him. And it's so important to understand the hour of these. He's given us a strategy in the hour in which we live to have services or these celebrations. Not only that, to have these life groups. The best way to be discipled is in a small group, life groups and teams. That's what that guide's all about. Why would you do that? So that you can get discipled, so that you can develop relationships. It's just not the, this format right here is not, you can't ask questions here. It's not like that. But you can ask questions anytime you want to. But, you know, preaching and teaching to you right now, it's not open for questions. We'd hardly get anywhere. But in life groups, you can ask all those questions. And you can always ask any question you want. And it's not just in this church service format. It doesn't work right here, right now. But we want you to ask the questions. Questions are important. Ask anyone you want. Services, life groups, and then conferences. Life groups and teams, thank you. And then we have these conferences and outreaches. This is a strategy that God's given us. All right, God's speaking to us. Here we go. Let's land this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me read it to you. No temptation has seized you except that which is common to man, and God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, He'll also provide a way out. So you can stand up under it. No matter what you face, God has a way through it. He has a way through it, no matter what you're facing. This word here from 1 Corinthians just so came alive to me many years ago because I was more easily tempted. I was more easily tempted than today. I had more hooks. I had more buttons. And so I would be pushed in a particular area. And I understood that when that would happen, I'd be like, which is the way out? When do I get out of here? And honestly, in the first year of my walk with the Lord, I had a word from the Lord, run, run. So I'd experience temptation and be like, run. And literally, people thought I'd lost my mind. I'd just be like, I'd just take off and I'm like, Where's Daniel going? I don't know. I'd run, I'd hit the street, I'd run until I couldn't run anymore, and I'd stop, and I'd be like, "Woo, yes, I didn't yield." Some of you need to run. Bump your neighbor and say, is he talking to you? Go ahead. God will make a way through the difficulty that you're facing. He'll make a way of escape. You can make it out. Psalm 66 is a favorite passage of mine. Verse 10, 11, 12 says, we went through the fire, went through the water, but you brought us into rich fulfillment. Two, we're to be like Noah and take personal steps of faith. Be like Noah. Have godly character. Hear His voice and obey. Persevere. Be a witness. And take steps of faith. Can you imagine? Him talking to his wife, I'm going to build this ark, is what he called it. What's that? Well, it's made of gopher wood. Well, we have plenty of gopher wood, I know. And pitch, we got a lot of that too. Yeah, I know. And here's the dimensions. Oh, that's big. Let's go, sweetheart. It's going to rain. What's that? I don't know. Water or something's coming. When? About 120 years from now. And he begins, can you imagine the first board that he made? I'm about talking with himself. Are you serious? Okay. Take steps of faith. We didn't have, listen to me, we didn't have 1 cent when we started here. And then, God miraculously provided for us to be able to get the property. That was the first miracle. And then after that, we didn't have any money for dirt work. We didn't have a builder, and I can't even build a chicken coop. So somebody said, were you going to be the builder? I had somebody say, you're going to be the builder in the project matter. I said, oh, no. You know, that's deception right there. We ain't doing that. What are you going to do? Going to pray. Prayed. God brought Wally. Who's extremely happy about it. Hallelujah. Wally was like a modern-day Noah. And God didn't send you. He would have sent somebody else. But he sent you, and we're very grateful. And together, we moved forward. We had some money that we were able to get together to do the dirt work, but it wasn't even enough for half of it. And we just keep moving in faith, kept moving, take steps of faith. Everybody say, take steps of faith. We're in it today and very grateful to all those that obeyed. Every one of you, Wally, Lauren, myself, my beautiful wife, we built an ark. But there's more to do for God. You got to keep taking steps of faith. Stay holy while living in an evil world, worship team. Stay holy while living in an evil world. It's ugly out there. Live holy, live right. Holiness matters. We're to believe for our whole family to be saved. How many of you need family members saved? We all need our families to come to Christ. That's why we built this. It's why I do an opportunity to get right with God at the end of every single service. Every service, 99%, yes. Why? Because I believe that you're going to bring your family, and I'm going to give them an opportunity to get right with God, and then those online are going to hear the word and repent and come into the ark. And then lastly, don't miss opportunities. Don't miss opportunities to do something for God. And in a moment, I'm going to play a video, a two-minute video from Dr. Morocco, and it'll be an opportunity that's up and coming here today as well as next weekend. And don't ever be offended. Don't ever be offended at opportunities that we offer. You listen, you want to go, please hear me. Listen to me right now. You want to go to a place that challenges you. You want to go to a place, you want to go to a church where you feel convicted. I need to change that. I can do a little bit better there. Oh, challenge to give, challenge to serve. You want to go, because in the end, when you stand before God, you know that whole, the whole insanity that the church doesn't cater to people. The purpose of the church, the ark, is not to make you feel comfortable. I got like one amen on the front from Noah. No offense. You're a great man. No, the church is to challenge you, to help you to become more like Christ. And if you feel uncomfortable about something, then it might be you. And all you need to do is trust and obey God. Everybody say, obey God. So we'll receive an offering here in a moment that moves us forward. And if you want to participate, then you do it. If you don't, then don't. But don't get mad. Don't get mad. I can't believe they took an over offering. Okay. Stay smooth-kneed and apathetic. Don't tithe. Serve yourself. Let me know how it works on the day. The day. The day when you stand before him on the day. Let me know how that, if you make it. Let me know. Let me know how that works out. It was hysterical. Bring your attention to the screens, please. Go ahead and let that roll.
The offering was being taken. I was sitting next to my mom. And I knew she didn't have much money. She was on Social Security. Dad had already passed. She reached in her purse, pulled out some money, put it in the offering. I turned to her. I said, Mom, I said, you've already tithed. You're giving. Why are you doing this? She said, Son, God spoke to me. Do not come before me empty-handed. And she took it to be a personal word for herself. Well, that stirred me to find out, well, where in the world is that verse found? Well, as you know, it's found in Exodus 23. Exodus 34 and Deuteronomy 16. And as I studied it, I realized it was tied to three festivals the Israelites celebrated every year. the Feast of Passover, which we celebrate as Easter because it was the time when Jesus died and rose from the grave. The Feast of Pentecost, which we celebrate as the time when the Holy Spirit fell on the 120 in the upper room. And of course, the Feast of Tabernacles near the end of the year, where I believe Jesus is going to return at that time. But over the years, what I've noticed is that we as a church have begun to embrace those three times as an opportunity for special giving. But what I've been asking God to do is to release among us the gift of giving. It's a spiritual gift, Paul mentions in Romans 12, and it's an important gift. And did you know God has begun to do that among our people? God has blessed kings and all of the extensions, and the people that are a part of this church are under an anointing of blessing, and it's very real. At this Pentecost Sunday, I'm believing that all of us will prepare a special gift. I know my wife and I are going to do that, and I pray that you will as well. You say, well, why do we need to give if we're so blessed? Because God is up to something. I believe he's preparing us as a church to be ready for the greatest harvest we've ever seen in history. And he's preparing our church to have the resources to be able to reap that harvest. You can be a part of it. So join my wife and I this Pentecost Sunday and be a part of this unique moment of giving. God bless you.
Amen. Ushers, would you help us out? We're going to go ahead and receive that right now for those of you that want to participate. And while the ushers are coming up and down the aisle, I want to give you an opportunity to examine your own heart. God forbid today would be your last day. Where would you go? Are you born again? Have you received Jesus? Have you repented of your sin? Come into the ark. John 3 says you must be born again. Talking to Nicodemus, a religious leader and ruler, Nicodemus didn't understand that. Jesus explains to him, no, it's not entering into your mother's womb a second time. It's being born of the Spirit. It's repenting, if I can break it down for you. It's repenting of your sin and asking Jesus to come into your life, to wash you, to cleanse you. It's a picture of coming into the ark and being rescued from the flood. That's why we built this place. But the mighty hand and help of the Lord. That's why we're receiving a special offering right now. It's to reach people. It's to change the world. And if you're here with every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, that's me. I want to receive Jesus for the first time, or perhaps you want to make a recommitment to him. All across this place, you say, that's me. Would you lift your hand to heaven if you want to be included in this prayer? God bless you. Go on, lift your hand high. I want to get right with God today. God bless you. Lift your hand high. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. I see that hand over there. Never be ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. If you raised your hand or you didn't, pray this prayer with me right now. Say, dear Heavenly Father, come on, there's others that'll be praying with you. Just pray with me right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place, to rise again from the grave for me. Forgive me for all of my sin. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. In the same way that you rose from the grave, raise my life up now and use me in this end time harvest. Use me to fulfill the purpose you have for me and for my family. May I be a man of faith or a woman of faith. As it is. I thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Lift your hands to heaven as the ushers come. I pray, Holy Spirit, fill now, touch now, heal. Break every bondage, break off defilement. Release your power, God, upon your people. God, we thank you, praise you for it. Be filled, be free, be loosed. In Jesus' name.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.